In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Christ is in our midst.
He was, is, and always shall be.
Good morning, Mother Madison. I want to say a few words of first. I want to say thank you to your beautiful parish. You are more than a church. Church is the body of Christ, the church is the family of Christ. And I've talked to a number of college students, even though I'm 1,000 miles away, over the years and being blessed to serve in Texas for almost 20 years. Many college students have come through this beautiful parish, and you have changed their lives. And I want to, before I offer a few words from the gospel, that college ministry, and you know today is a very special Sunday. It's a Sunday that we want to recognize as College Sundays. And it's so important. Let me tell you, it's a proven statistic that every Sunday you will have a student, at least one. And trust me, you have a number of universities and colleges miles from your beautiful church. And you will have a student coming here at least one, if not more. And your smile, your welcome. Trust me, these young people, these young men and women, welcoming them to your home will change your life. Trust me, they need a nice meal. They need a really nice meal. And I'm just going to leave you, and this has happened, again, I've been very blessed to serve on college campuses for many, many years. I think I'm getting too old. I need to let the young guys take over, but I'm still on campus, and it's a great, great blessing. And even now, today, in Boulder, we have a number of students, and many of them, it's the first time, it's unbelievable, it's the first time they've actually come into any church, and they've walked into a Greek Orthodox church. We had a young man a few years ago, and he went to probably one of the most liberal schools in the country, and that's now pretty much the norm. They're doing everything to say that God doesn't exist, that there's no relationship with Jesus Christ. So this young man who grew up as a Baptist, he left his family, and he was actually taking a class to kind of disprove God. And so he had an assignment to go to a traditional church. He chose the Greek Orthodox Church. And he went there not searching. He went there to take notes and say, this is hogwash. They don't know what they're doing. They're lost. He came during Lent. It was actually in the preparation of Lent. He came on the Sunday of the prodigal son. Euli has a plan. God has a plan. And this young man, his life was transformed. He embraced Orthodoxy. 2 years later, entered seminary. And is a graduate of our Holy Cross Seminary. So I leave a challenge to you. And I know you're already doing it. That's why I'm thanking you. I know so many of you are welcoming students. I want to encourage you and challenge you. Look for those students. Love them. Welcome them. You'll change their lives. And guess what? They're going to change your life. A few words about today's gospel. I think when we hear the gospel this morning, we have to first come to the attention of the cross of our Lord and put our place in those soldiers. The soldiers at the foot of Jesus at the cross, they had to be in shock. They had to be astonished to hear from Jesus, not the words of pain and suffering, not the words cursing those who crucified him, but love. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus offers the highest form of charity, loving one's enemy. The teachings of Christ are not only difficult, but impossible. John, do you agree? They're impossible, and I know you study and you offer a beautiful Bible study. It is impossible for those who are not willing to change with Christ. We can't do it without Christ. But we can do everything with Christ. The key is with Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful book. And I know many of you are teachers. And I recommend not just for teachers, for clergy. It's a wonderful book. And I believe she was here. I know she was here many, many years ago. A sister, Alderfi Magdalini, a Greek Orthodox monastic. And I had the blessing of meeting her a number of years ago, and an incredible story. And here she is, a calling to serve the church as a nun, and then her bishop said, no, I want you to do some youth ministry. And she said, I'm a nun, I'm a monastic, I know nothing about didache, children. He goes, well, God has a plan for you. So here she is at this monastery that's, it's in England, you've probably heard of it, St. John of Essex. And it's a very active monastery, and here now she's called to work with the youth and challenging youth. And it changed her life. And there's a wonderful book, you probably have seen it, again, I highly recommend it. The book is Conversations with Children. And it's all theology, but it's theology with our children, which is the best theology. And she shares incredible stories of her work with the youth. And there's one section she speaks about this gospel passage, about loving your enemies. And she would always have these incredible experiences, and so she's working, well, not working, but she was blessed with siblings, a boy and a girl. They were brother and sister, and I know it's a shock to hear, but sometimes brothers and sisters, they fight, and they were young, and the little boy, and it's always the boys, you know, they're the ones that are always causing all the problems and giving his sister a really hard time. He heard the nun speak about this gospel, but he was listening, but he decided to twist the gospel. And he said, now, after they're fighting, the little boy, she should love me a lot. She should love me a lot. After all, I'm her enemy. And now the feast sister Magdalene said, now she's talking to the sister who's just complaining. Oh, he just drives me crazy. And she's trying to, just trying to calm her down. And here's a quote from Sister Magdalene. She says, when someone is hard to love, talking about her brother, when someone is hard to love, we should ask God for help. Ask God to help us love that person and to pray for them. Sounds really nice. Well, the sister wasn't buying it. I hate my brother. He annoys me so much. We're always fighting. And the sister kind of stepped back and she says, try not to think of your brother as your enemy, even when he annoys you. And here's the sister, she says, I cannot recommend fighting, I'm a nut. Cannot recommend fighting, but even if you do end up fighting, think of yourselves more like, this is from a nun, temporary boxing rivals. Because what do the boxers do at the end of the match? They hug and they shake hands at the end of a match. And whatever you're feeling, she said, most importantly, say a prayer for him every night. Say a prayer for him every night. My dear brothers and sisters, I have to share with you, and many of you have probably read, but it's the life of a saint that really speaks to this gospel about a saint who, I mean, he suffered. And he actually suffered in the hands of a dear friend. And the saint I'm speaking about, he was commemorated a few days ago, and I encourage you, if you haven't, read the life of Saint Gregory, the Enlightener of Armenia. And just briefly, I mean, this is an incredible story about love for the enemy. And this was his dear friend. Saint Gregory was from a very special, very noble family, the Imperial House of Persia and Armenia. That's today's Iraq and Iran and Turkey. When Persia and Armenia went to war between themselves, Gregory, who was a young father, he left for Caesarea in Cappadocia, Cappadocia. Cappadocia was a very special place because this is where Saint Gregory converted, because he grew up a pagan. He converted to the Christian faith. His whole family, he had two sons, his wife, they were all baptized. All baptized. And sadly, as a young father, Gregory lost his wife. She died young. But Saint Gregory, with his two young sons, returned to Armenia, and he served the king of Armenia, who was actually a childhood friend, who became the king, Tiridates. And he served the king with, he was faithful to his friend, to his king. And the king loved Gregory very, very much. They had a very deep relationship. Well, the king, who was a pagan, and you have to understand, at that time, almost everyone in Armenia was a pagan. Christianity was now just starting to grow. And the king at the time, he discovered that Gregory was a Christian. And he put pressure on his friend, abandon that foolish, what are you doing? Abandon that and return to pagan idolatry. But here now, his dear friend said, I love you, but I will not deny Christ. I will not deny my love for Jesus Christ. And the king put pressure. And now, in such frustration, he tortured. And he took now his dear friend, not just in a prison cell, but he put him in a pit to die. I mean, he dug a pit. By miracle, Gregory survived and remained in this pit for 14 years. This is by the hands of his dear friend. 14 years. Well, as you can imagine, this suffering, Gregory remained steadfast in his faith. At the same time, Tiridates became mad. I mean, his persecution for the Christians, he went on a rampage. In fact, what probably led to, he went crazy. He literally went crazy. He attacked a monastery full of women. Full of women. And that really was the turning point in his life, where he hit rock bottom. He lost his mind. God came to the sister of the king, Tiridates, and he told her, release Saint Gregory. Gregory didn't leave, but he went immediately to his friend who had made him suffer 14 years. And he prayed over his friend, Tiridates, and he was healed. And the king repented. And he begged his friend with love, help me, baptize me. Gregory became the bishop of Armenia, and with the help now of his friend, the king, they enlightened the entire country of Armenia. That's why he's referred to as the enlightener of Armenia. My dear brothers and sisters, Christ said, love is the most important mark of those who truly follow Christ. John 13, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Saint Gregory understood the teachings of Jesus Christ, that people who live in darkness, like his friend did for a while, who are filled with darkness, he understood that he must love. He has to increase his love. We are called to practice, more than practice, it has become a part of our life, to have a love with no limits, no boundaries, like the love of God.